is that Vav. So we've gone through the Mishnah, and we've arrived after exploring the relationship of Av to Tolada, exploring three meta levels of Av. So we have the 4 and the 13 and the 24, and that certainly was not all inclusive, which is why we numbered them as we saw. And after going through the Machlokes as to the meaning of the particular Avot in the Mishnah, we come at last, after the discussions of why we would not be able to learn one from the other and figuring out that actually we could if we would have inserted Bor into the equation, we come at last to the closing words of Hatzad HaShaveh Shebehem. Hatzad HaShaveh Shebehem obviously is there to tell me that there are other things that are included that haven't been listed, and that's what we'd like to explore, because not only is it telling me there are other things that haven't been listed, it's telling me that there are other things that are hybrids and that are actually only accessible not through limudim in the Torah, but rather through a combination of taking elements of one av to another av, and then determining that there are things that are included that otherwise wouldn't be included, which of course offers us a very rich repertoire of avot, and leads us to questions as to what the characteristics of those avot are, because, I mean, if it's a hybrid, does it take also the pturim of both of its sources, or can we say that it's more similar to one than the other? And I want to bring up this idea because we've had it before, and it serves as something of an introduction to the sugya that we're about to begin. You will recall the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel about whether someone who leaves a backpack on the ground is going to be chayev mishum bor, or is going to be chayev mishum shor, if he did not mafkir the backpack. Now, the meaning of that is that according to Rav, if it's a shor, then we're going to have to say that it's only a shor in the broadest sense. It's a shor that needs access to bor. Remember, we talked about this back on Daf Gimel, because certainly a shor that cannot move is an awfully weak kind of shor. We would never be able to derive it directly from shor. So what he must be saying is that an immovable object that nonetheless is your money is learnt out from a combination of bor and shor. And then again, the question is, how do we treat it? Do we treat it as a bor? I mean, so why is he calling it a shor? Is it that we take one particular thing that it's most similar to and say, look, anything that's your moment, and it's darko lahazik, which this is certainly darko lahazik, and it's your moment, I'm not troubled by the fact that you come to it, because I see that that's not important, because after a bor shows us that's not important. But the problem is that usually we're limited in such limudim to the maximum information that was put in. Now, the maximum information that was put in, a bor, for instance, would be plotter on the tailor. Right? Now, that would mean if somebody stumbles over the backpack, breaks the glass jar that he's holding, I should be plotter. Because even though Rav's calling it a shor, since I have access to bor, it ought to be plotter on tailor. And yet we do find later on Rav saying that it's chayav on tailor. And this is something that we're going to take a look at a little bit more today and see what these hybrids are, if they're true hybrids, or if they're actually essentially a mazik, and then we're just bringing a raya from another mazik, that we shouldn't be concerned about a particular chisaron. But not only that, as we get into the Tzad HaShava, obviously gives us new opportunities to search for nuances of difference that we hadn't really looked at before. We had things pretty much cut and dried before. So we were talking about a keren as a kavanas on a hazik, a shein as yeshana lehezeko, a bor as trilat asiyato lehezek, an Eish as a Koachacha Mu'urav Behem, and so on. But the fact is that there are nuances that we haven't considered, and we're going to get a chance to look at them now in terms of the Tzad HaShava. So what exactly would this Tzad HaShava include? HaTzad HaShava V'Shavehen, L'Tehimai. What type of mazik has not been included in the list of the Mishnah, and yet is included by this new common denominator? Omar Abaye, so we have here somebody leaves a stone at the corner of his roof, poised to fall in a normal wind, and now that goes in and it's mazik. Well, first of all, tell me what you mean. It's mazik. If it damages as it's falling, then that's an esh. I mean, basically, an esh is something that is dangerous when it's blown by the wind into a new area. So, ma'ishna esh, kachach me'urabo, umamontcha, again, that momontcha is problematic, and it's in the broadest sense, as we'll see much later, ushmirato alecha, They only become dangerous because of a koach ha'murabim. And it's similar to age in every way. I mean, the fact that age happens to be an oxidizing agent and this happens to be a smashing agent, I mean, is irrelevant. The Ella, you must be talking about that the Tzad HaShaveshaben is important bater the Naich, after they already landed on the ground. So now, Idafkirino, if this person has no intention of ever picking this thing up, and it's basically Hefker, so then we said, Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainu Bor. The only thing that this serves is damage. So therefore, this wouldn't require a tzad hashav. And we're going to come back and attack that assumption in a moment. Ela, are we talking about the lo afkarino? Okay, so if we weren't mafkarin, then l'shmuel, the amar kula miboro lamadu, this is still a bor. We don't bother closing the statement. The Rav, the Omar Mishor Lamadna, because, and this is a riot to the Tosfos earlier that I just mentioned, because when Rav says it's a shor, he really means it's a shor bar. That it's already been part of the Tzad HaShava, so that's not a question. Our question is only on Shmuel. In other words, according to Rav, who says that something that I own, it's my backpack, I left it on the corner of my roof, wind blows it down. Now somebody stumbles over it, I own it, says Rav, that's a bar, that's a shor. Sure don't look like a shor to me. A shor has a tendency to move about. This thing is standing still. And I have to come to it. So obviously, Rav could only know that it's a shor if I use bor to back up the fact that your mamon you would be chayav on, despite the fact that it's not going out to get anybody, right? So I need bor to at least establish that it's not necessary to move to be a mazik. So then that means, according to Rav, I already know the answer to that tzad hashava shaveh. Because I wouldn't know that it's a shor unless I already knew that it was also a bor. So therefore, you'll not, Tosfos brings this earlier, on Daf Gimel, he says, you'll note that the Gemara never closes the, and according to Rav, because and according to Rav, it's irrelevant. According to Rav, we already know the solution. It's a shor bar. But according to Shmuel, it's a bar bar. So then why do we need a tzad hashava? What element of it is not like bar? Says the Gemara, it's still not like bar, for heaven's sakes. Le'olam Daf Karino, yes, it's talking about your mask, but how can you say that's a straightforward bore? Of course, it's not a straightforward bore. V'lo domo la bore. Because mala bore, shekein ein koach acher mu'urav bore. The only way that this thing got to be in a position to cause damage is because the wind blew it over. Now, how do I know that that's more than just a grumma? I left something for the wind to blow it over. I didn't position it myself. I need access to Aish in order to know that that type of thing is still included in my responsibilities as a mazik. So obviously, when Shmuel said it's a bor, it means a bor. It means a bor age. So then, Tomer Ba'ani Shekoach Acher Mu'urav, and all the above cases needed the wind. Therefore, you're going to have to come to say Eish Tochiach. Then you'll ask, but Eish? Eish is not this. Mala Eish Shekin Darko Leilechu L'Hazik. Ah, then you get to bor. So now bor Tochiach, V'chos Radin. And now, you'll get to your common denominator. You'll say, well, obviously, the fact that something doesn't go to damage isn't essential to be called a mazik. The fact that something isn't directly created by me but requires the wind or some other force in it is not a problem. And that too is acceptable as a mazik. And so, given that, I now know avno sakinu maso shinichan barosh kago. And I know that, of course, according to Rav as well. Obviously, it sure isn't a shor. I mean, I never got fooled by that. Okay, that's one case. Rav Amar, I'll give you another case. Not that I disagree, but here's another case. How about a plain old-fashioned bor, except that it's an obstacle bor that gets kicked around from place to place, okay? So I left my rock on the ground, and now it's mitgalgel, bragle adamu, bragle bema. It gets kicked around from place to place. Somebody falls on it in the place where it was kicked. Now, how about that? So now, the question is over there. If it's a chidami idafkarino. If I was mafkirit, again, we're going to take first a simplistic approach. If I was mafkirit, so bein l'rab bein l'shmuel haynu bor. Marshno bor, shekhein tchilat asiyato l'nezek. Look, this thing was initially set down, it was already a bor. By the way, you'll notice the difference between this case and Amno Sekino Maso. Because Amno Sekino Maso, the problem is it only became a bor using a koach hachamura. Over here, it was a bor initially. Now it's in a new place. So who's responsible now? I mean, somebody kicked it. Am I responsible for putting it in a place where somebody kicked it, now somebody else fell over it? Or is that the second guy, or is nobody responsible? So I'm saying this is a bor. If a bor is tchilat asiyato lenezek shmirato alecha, then I should have been watching this thing. Adinah b'tchilat asiyato lenezek u'shmirato alecha. Ela d'lo afkarino. So you're talking about that I still own it. Okay, so again, according to Shmuel, who cares if I own it or not? He says, kulam bor levadu. I knew bor. Because the Gemara, no. It is not similar to bor. It's, as a matter of fact, extremely dissimilar to bor. Because liolam d'afkarino, velo dami labor. Let's ignore the question of whether I own it. That just introduces additional complications. I was mafkred. You say, well, here it's a bor. And it's true, v'tchilas asiyot l'nezek. Yes, but there's another issue of bor that we never really had to deal with, and that is malabor. Shkin ma'asav gormulo. You think about a bor. A bor is a very strange thing, because a bor, we keep calling it mamoncha. It's not mamoncha. Basically, what you did is you provided an opportunity for somebody to come along and hurt himself. I mean, that's pretty far away. Certainly not an adam hamazik. It's not your mama hamazik, because you don't own it. So what happened is that there's a new category of mazik, which because of the fact that you made it happen, you are considered to be an owner of empty space, if it's in the literal bar, or an owner of a hefker thing. I mean, in this case, you can't say ma'asav garmula. Somebody kicked it. An animal kicked it, put it into its new position. The hezek wasn't called that cause directly because of the fact that I set it down. I mean, somebody else had to come along. Now, this is not koach ha'meurava. Because koach ha'meurava that we discussed earlier was in the initial creation of the bar. There I can say eish lochigah. Over here, what I've got to come on to, even according to Shmuel, despite the fact that I was afkarino, is that shor yochigah. Because in shor, certainly not, I didn't do anything. What is my shor? I just owned it. So apparently it isn't absolutely essential that myself should be garmalo. So I would say, let's learn that from Shor. Okay, but Shor moves around. Ah, that's true. Shkein dakel l'chazik, but a bor doesn't move around. So if I put the two together, what I can see is that if I create something, where tchilat asiyato lehezek, and where it happens now to be in a new place, being in a new place isn't significant. Shor is always in a new place, not where I left it. And over here, the fact that it's not my moment, well, that's not significant because I was the one who created it. And therefore, putting the two together, we come out now with a new type of mazik. Again, a shor bar mazik, according to Shmuel. Ravada bar avama, I have a brilliant one. And this truly is brilliant. It's a completely new way of looking at things. It's latriya hadatani. The Braita says like this. There are times in the year in which, and again, this is one of those balancing acts. People have a need to get rid of their sewerage. Now, there was no sewage system underground and so on. There's a tremendous amount of backup water that's going to get ultimately in a chutz. Obviously, they didn't use sewage for toilets, but they had sewage for washing dishes and so on and so forth. So now, when do you have the right to clean out your chutz? There's no place it's going to go except into the street. Or you've got an area in which you had a cistern, and now you have to clean out the cistern. It's full of mud. Where's the mud going to go? So what they did was, is they said, look, there are times of the year when things are misudar and aesthetically pleasing. You cannot put stuff out in the street during those times. There's other times in which things are a bloody mess anyway, because it's raining and it's muddy. And remember in those days, when it came the rain, everything was mud. And so in those days, it's okay for you to release your sewer into the street along with the rain and to clear out your cisterns. It's just more mud. There's mud there anyway. Question is, who is responsible? It says in the Braita, kol elu shamru potkin bibotehen, v'gorfin ma'arotehen, all of those that were said to be allowed to unplug their drainage and to clear out their cisterns. B'yemot ha'chama, ein lehem reshut. They're not allowed to do this during yemot ha'chama, but b'yemot ha'gishamim, yesh lehem reshut. However, says the Braita, af al pisha b'reshut, im yiziku chayavim, if it causes damage, they're chayav, they can do it, but they need to take responsibility on the results. Interesting combination. Now, I say this is the case. What do you mean this is the case? This is exactly the cases we've always had. I mean, Echidami, Iba Hadi de Gahazli Maske. What? You threw it out, and as you were throwing a shovel full of stuff into the street, you hit somebody. I mean, that's your koach. That's what I'm a mazik. That's kokohu. Ela Bata the Naich, is it after it landed? Again, Echidami, Idaf Karinu. So Ben Larav, Ben Lishvul, Hainu Bar. I mean, it's like any other bar. Maishna bor, tchilat asiyat hanezek, mamoncha, shmiratan alecha, aninami, tchilat asiyat hanezek, mamoncha, shmiratan alecha, It's the same issue again. According to Shmuel, it says it's a bar. It's a bar. According to Rav, we already know it's a tzad hashava, no new case. What is so brilliant about your case? Ah, he says, I'll tell you. Le'olam dafkarino. But there's a fantastic difference. Lo dami labor. Because a bar was done without rishus. So you see, bishlema, if I understand the nature of a mazik to be my responsibility for my money. Okay. My responsibility for not acting responsibly. Okay? My responsibility for acting responsibly within the law about something that I don't own? That's a mazik. That's a completely new idea. I didn't do anything wrong. This was part of the zoning laws. And yet I'm responsible. So is that halacha? I need to learn out. Tomar Bahani de Bereshut, these things are done with permission. I don't know that by bar at all. How do I know it? Shor Yochiach, again. Do I have a right to have my shor walk around in the street? Absolutely. Nonetheless, if my shor causes damage and gores somebody, I'm chayav. Yes. So apparently permission is not something that necessarily means I'm not responsible, but I need to come on to the malas had a shavah shavah. Therefore, malas shor, you're going to say, but a shor, it's dark, aleluch al-hazik, okay. Bor tochiach, v'chaz radin, we're back again. Ravina says, I've got an even bigger, brilliant case. I say, case is talking about, latriyadit, hakotel. Somebody got a wall, or he has a tree in his front yard. And now they collapsed, and they collapsed into Shoshavah. And they were mazik. So he's potter milashalem. Unless, natnu lazman, if he had been given warning by the iriya, and said that our engineers have noted that this wall is dangerous, or this tree is dangerous, it must be removed. And that kid, they have 30 days, exactly. So they give him natnu lazman. Look, kutzita ilan v'listora takota, v'naflu b'toch hazman v'zikra. So there, if they fall within the time, you're potter. Li'akra zman chayav. Okay, so now again, hechidami. Ide afkra, bein l'rav, bein l'shmo, hainu bor, isn't it? I mean, maishno bor, ezeko matsui, shmiroto alecha, haninami, ezeko matsui, shmiroto alecha. So it seems to be a straight-out bor. What's so brilliant about this case? Ide lo afkarinu. So then according to Shmuel, it said, kula mi bor olamadna, so it's still a bor. Not true. And here is my brilliant case. Because it's lo domu lo bor. The whole point of a bor, we said all along, is that tchilat asiyato lenezek. You tell me a guy planted a tree, it's tchilat asiyato lenezek? It's a joke. Of course it's not tchilat asiyato lenezek. So over here, we don't have any of the valuable issues that we had in the bor until now. And you can't call this koach hachamura of them. Because it's a gravitational issue. It's not a god. It's not a koach hachamura. The thing itself collapsed. Nothing else came along to collapse it. So Mimela, it's nothing like all of the cases. This is really a beautiful case. So here I did something completely legally, and there was nothing in it that was damage-oriented at all, if anything, the opposite. Maybe it was even going to prevent people from suffering damage. Maybe it was a wall around the hole to prevent people from getting hurt. And not only that, but there's no kohachacha that I could have taken into consideration, that I could learn out from Eishter's Chayev. And nonetheless, you're telling me that if I'm not an outright onus, and I was warned that this thing can no longer continue to stand, it's my responsibility to remove it before it gets into position to cause the damage. That's fascinating. So over there, how do I know that? Therefore, I've got to come in this case to a shore, because it was my wall. And now I knew I needed to take care of it, so it was my shor. So say, yes, but a shor is dark alel chalazik. Okay, again, bor yochiyah, v'chaz radin, and we're back to another hybrid. So we have a lot of fascinating new insights into elements of bor. We're going to see far more about this later on when we get into the particular dinim of bor, which are fascinating halachas. As far as the issue of what the rules are of a hybrid, this indeed is big machlokas rishonim, whether a hybrid takes on the lowest common denominator of the two limudim that it came from, or whether it isn't, strictly speaking, a hybrid, but rather takes on the characteristics of that which it's most similar to. And we only use the other one as a giloi milta, that we shouldn't worry about that. Again, we're only taking on the first steps here in the Masechta to get an idea of the complexities and the relationships of the mazikin, but these are things that we will get into later, we should take into consideration. Then continues the Mishnah, Kishayizik, Chav Hamazik, Vashalem, etc., etc. That word Chav is very strange, because Chav means Chov. But it doesn't mean chayav, which is a state of the person to be in. It means a chov exists, but then you can't say chav ha-mazik. You can say yesh chov ha-mazik. How do you say the word chav? What does that mean, the chav? Chav ha-mazik? Chayav ha-mazik mi-boiling. Omer of Yudom Arav, you know those guys from Yerushalayim, they never know how to talk. Hi, Tana Yerushalmi. Tani Lishna Kalila. They always shorten, they're always dropping things, and they shorten their language until it becomes almost a shorthand. And even though Rebbe was Mesader the Mishnayos, he did not write the Mishnayos, and he took this Mishnah as written and put it into place. Okay, and then we said...
That's a good thing.
Huh? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, sure. L'shalem tashlumei nezek. Tana Rabba. We said mi meitav sadeo. Now, it says meitav sadeo, meitav kamo yishalem. What does that mean? Whose sada? Meitav sadeo. Whose sada? The sada of the person who's damaged, or sada of the person who's paying? Is this a reference to what you're paying from, or is this a reference to what you're paying for? So what appears to be a striking machlokas is that Rabbi Yishmael says what this means is meitav sadeo shel nizak, meitav kamo shel nizak, divrei Rabbi Yishmael, which seems to be saying that no matter what you damage, you're always going to pay as if it's the best that it could have been.
Of the nezek.
Right. So in other words, what would this mean? It would mean that if you have a field, and obviously there's variations in a field, some rows are very high quality, some rows are low quality, and your shor goes ahead and eats a low quality row, you're going to pay highest quality. Now, on the surface, that sounds nutty, but let's remember. How do you pay? You don't pay for the payrot that you ate. You pay for the difference in the value of the field as an entire field with this row or without that row. Now that's, I mean, you're not going to get much return as the owner of the field for the difference, right? So now the question is, in terms of looking at the field as a whole, there's a blank spot now where there were previously, a guy who's buying the field is not thinking about the production of this year, you know? It's a small element in it. It'll deduct a small amount of money. So that means you're going to get paid very little. Comes along now, Rabbi Yishmael, this is what the Gemara thinks, comes along Rabbi Yishmael to say, okay, but in terms of the presentation to a buyer, we present this row as if it was the highest quality row. So that now that it's missing something, it's going to be missing the best quality payroll. He's still being paid a very small amount of money for his payroll.
But it's more.
But it's more. Okay, that's what we thought it meant. In the end, Rabbi Yishmael is not saying that. But this is what the Gemara thinks Rabbi Yishmael is saying. It's not completely crazy when you understand how he estimate damages. Rabbi Akiva Omer. And why did we think this crazy thing? Because of Rabbi Akiva, the way he said what he said. Lo ba'katuv ela l'gvot l'nezikin min ha'idit. All that the pasuk is coming to tell me is that nezikin is supposed to collect it from the best. Now, doesn't that sound like, and you, Rabbi Yishmael, are talking about not collection, but payment. So when he said that, it was very misleading to us. So we thought, we would never think that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying, but we thought that that's what Rabbi Yishmael was saying because he led us into thinking that's a stasis.
It couldn't be the same thing, no?
No, because that's why he's saying ligvot, and then he did, the collection, not the payment. The collection of the payment cannot be referring to what you're paying for. It's got to be paying what you're paying from. But it sounds like that's what I disagree with you about. The kalvachom or lehekdesh, which also is not clear. If you're going to have to pay for, it sounds like it's you're going to have to pay from the best. If you damage a secular source, kol shekein, you're going to have to pay from the best. If you damage hekdesh, which we'll see is far from true.
Because of Raya.
Right. But okay. But that's what it sounds like it's saying. So it's like, now I understand. What is Rabbi Yishmael saying? Ocha shmeina meshalim shmeina. So now, you eat a row of very high quality food. You're going to pay for that. And ocha kusha meshalim shmeina? You mean the damages have nothing in common with what it is, the entity that was damaged? It's a little strange. I mean, Bishlam, if you'll tell me there's a knas, you know? Look, on the one hand, we're good to you. You know, we're going to allow you, the damager, to pay only in the context of the entire field. But on the other hand, we're going to come down hard because you should have taken better care. I mean, it's got to be across the board. It doesn't make sense that actually makes no difference at all what you damage. It has to be reflected in some level. So how does that make sense? Omer vidi baravin, achva ma'eskinan, gegon she'achal aruga bein ha'aruga. What it means is, we don't know what he ate. We come to the field and we see the shor is sitting there looking very happy with himself. And there's a blank aruga. And we don't have any aerial photos to show us whether it was klush achal or shemena achal. So what it's saying is, look, if you don't know, look at the best and pay the best. Omar Rava, I mean, it still doesn't make sense to me, says Rava. Uma ilu yad inan de klush achal. You're telling me that if I did have aerial photos, and I know that he ate kechusha. Exactly. So then he would only have paid low quality. But since I don't know, since I don't know, now he's got to pay more. That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, it made more sense the other way. I mean, if you were telling me there was some kind of way that the Rabbi Shmuel held that the Torah takes nezikin, but to say that it's a function of whether you know, that's outrageous. I mean, that violates everything that we know about collections and fair collections. You want to collect more, prove it. Otherwise, you'll only have a right to be tovei at a lesser amount. I don't accept that. Ella, Omar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and when we say Ella, it means forget about it. We're trying a completely new tech now. We're talking about over here, and obviously, Rabbi Shmuel agrees we're talking about collection. We are not talking about eating what you're paying for what you ate and determining what it is that you pay for. But what happened over here is that we have different ways of looking at the best property. What happens here is that the edit of the Nizik was a poor man, has poor quality fields. His best quality field is the same level of property as the lowest quality of the guy who did the damage. Now, the guy who did the damage says, Meitav Sadeo, I'm going to pay him best of his field, not my field. So the best of his field is this. Okay, so I don't want to pay him cash. I'm paying him karka. Here's the karka. It's just as good as his very best. Very good. Says Rabbi Shmuel, indeed. Very good. Says Rabbi Kiva, no. It's got to be of the mazik, the guy who's paying. So that's what we're talking about. It's not kenas. You pay the same exact value, but the Torah wants you to pay it in you're an easily sellable property. So it's preferred property. Worth exactly the same amount.
As what damage.
What?
As of the best.
Can't hear you.
As what was damaged is the same amount. That's
yes, of course. Same amount. Okay, exactly. Uba obligate. Rabbi Shmuel Sofar ben Nizik Shemina. That when we talk about the best, we mean the best of the guy whose property you damaged. And according to Rabbi Akiva, we say ben Mazik Shemina. Yeah, for sure. If you pay cash, then it's irrelevant. All of this is talking about, well, you're not paying cash, you can also pay channel, which is the equivalent of a kesef. We're over there. It makes no difference what, because there's always a market. Anything at all. Right. But if you're paying something that he's going to be stuck with, and you can't exactly pick up a field and sell it elsewhere, so then you have to pay the edict. And that's the nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and between Rabbi Shmuel. You'll notice that we've, again, very, very much oversimplified about things that the Gemara is going to get into later on. And the big oversimplification here is there such a thing as objective idis, ziburis, and beinaris? Here we've been assuming that it's all relative. In other words, to me, this is my best, this is my middle, this is my least. Now, relative to what the nizik owns. But how about if there's an objective quality? We didn't even raise that issue. We could have used that here as understanding the makloks, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. But again, we're keeping it simple. Later on, we are going to get into this question. So keeping it simple, and now it's just a question of the Nizik's got one quality of Idis, and the Mazik's got another quality of Idis, and this is the Machlokas. My time at Rabbi Shmuel says, look, it says Soda in both cases, Meitav Sadeh, and it says Soda, of course, Ki Yivar Ish Soda Okeren, that's talking about the Soda Acher, right? The other guy's Soda. So then when it says Meitav Sadeh, it's referring to the same Soda that was referring to earlier. This is a gzer shava, not an analysis of the adjective. Okay, so if the sada referred to initially is the sada that was damaged, then the sada that is being referred to currently is the sada that is damaged. And therefore, it's been a nizik. So av sada omur lamata, the nizik. Rabbi Akiva says, for heaven's sakes, will you just look at the adjective? I mean, there's an antecedent over here. You can't tell me something nonsensical like that. It's yishalein. His best field he shall pay. What's the antecedent? The pronoun. It's his field. It's his, the damager. So obviously the guy who's paying. The hech to come
mishalei. He doesn't learn
gzera shava. But how can Rabbi Shmuel ignore the meaning of the pasuk? says Rabbi Shmuel, I'm not ignoring the meaning of the pasuk. The meaning of the pasuk kicks in under certain circumstances, and the gzeirah shava kicks in under other circumstances. Let me explain to you. Ahane gzeirah shava v'hanikra. Actually, both of them are meaningful. And I'll give you the case. Ahane gzeirah shava k'dekamina. Look, the case that we just had where the ziburis of the mazik is the same level as the idis. That is the gzeirah shava. Okay? Now here I'm going to show you where the meaning of the pasuk kicks in. Ahane kra. Let's say the mazik has idis and ziburis. Okay? Now there's also idis to the nizik. But in this case, the ziburis of the mazik is not worth the idis of the nizik. But his idis is worth 10 times better property than the idis of the nizik. Does he have to pay way better than the nizik's idis? Yes. Yes, he does. Because in this case, since the gzeirah shava doesn't apply, because there's no, it's not called idis if he gives him the ziburis, what's left is only now the meaning of the hechta mishalem, the guy who's paying. And in that case, he's going to give him better. In that case, it's hechta kamishalem. The melo matzi armala, he can't tell him, look, I'm not going to pay you better than what you have. Ta gavi, ahat gavi misiburis. Ela gavi mi meitav. Fine, that makes sense. Now, Rabbi Akiva added a word that didn't make very much sense. He said, lo va hakatuv, ela ligvot l'nezikin mina idit v'kal v'chomer lehegdesh. So the way we're understanding now what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, if it's stressing the payer, yeshalim, then it's stressing the givia from the collection. Who are you going to collect from? To collect from the edis, obviously the guy I'm collecting from. That's how we understand it, not the difference between paying for or paying from. All right, so now the kavachom lehegdesh means, for sure, if you damage hegdesh, absolutely you're going to have to pay from the very best. Except for one minor problem. If you damage hegdesh, you're potter completely. Says the Gemara, what's the kavachom lehegdesh? Now what? He lamed the nagach tur, he done the tur, the hegdesh. What? Your shar, when Adam gored, a shar of hegdesh. All of the dinim of mazikin are built around the structure of society, not punitive damages. And hegdesh is not part of society. Your re'ehu is part of society. And that's why the Torah says, ki yigov shor, isha shor re'ehu. Why does it specify re'ehu? It's got to be your friend. It means re'ehu in the sense of being on the same secular member of a society, not some type of caste in which you're outside of the overall society. Then we don't have any laws of protection and damages and so on. And therefore, lo shor shel hegdesh. If you damage shor shel hegdesh, you don't have to pay at all. So how can Rabbi Akiva say that, well, it's kav chomer? I mean, that's just a moral reflex kick. It's charity, for sure. No, maybe you don't pay at all. I mean, it's not a reflex. So what are you talking about? Ella, maybe it means a guy promises money for hegdesh, and then he doesn't pay up. We're going to come to his house, we're going to collect. So it's telling me if I'm collecting, I can for sure collect from the very best. That doesn't make any sense. A guy says, Omer harei alai mona lebedek abayi. Now he doesn't pay. So now hotzah lepoal comes, ati gizbar v'shakil mi'idit. Why? What's the kal v'chomer? If I borrow money from you, and I owe you money, do I have to pay you from idit? Absolutely not. I pay you from the middle. Balkovis bebeinonit. So when I'm making a kal v'chomer, boy, it's a classic kal v'chomer. If ever there was a dayo, that would be the dayo. If for a regular guy, you have to pay from peinonis. Koshkin, hegdesh, you should have to pay from idis. Oh, man. That's the classic dayo. If from her father, she would have had to hide for 7 days. So from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she has to hide for 14 days. That is the case. That's hegdesh. We never say an idiotic avachomer like that. So it shouldn't be any different than Beinonit. Now, if you try to tell me, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a balkov is beidit, right? It's not even a kavachomer, even if that's true. Because then I'll tell you, yeah, maybe a balkov, the Torah is more makbid on because he's secular. We give less protection to hegdesh. So if you're going to pay a non-hegdesh, you'll pay from idit. But maybe hegdesh, you don't pay from idit, even though you have to pay. Because it's not damages, but who says you have to pay for the best? Why don't we say, Mala Balkov, Shekin Yafek Okol Benizikin? A Balkov, the Torah is more interested in protecting. Because the same person, if you would hurt him, you'd have to pay Yidis. Okay, so now if you borrow, you have to pay Yidis. But Hegdish, if you hurt, Hegdish should be putter. So maybe if you owe Hegdish money, you pay from maybe the worst. Maybe you pay from Ziburis, not even from Benizikin. What kind of Kal Vachomer is this? What is it that you don't understand? Speak up, speak up. This man has more power to collect from you if you had heard him. Hegdish has. No, than Hegdish has. So this person you have to pay Edis because he's empowered. Hegdish is not empowered. So maybe Hegdish doesn't get paid Edis, right? Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is not making sense in any way. Okay? So something's terribly wrong here. Tomar be'Hegdish u'rak v'chol b'nezikin. Okay, let's go back to the drawing board and go back to what we said initially. It's talking about the Nogach Tura Didan Tura Hegdish. And your problem was if your shor hits Hegdish, I thought you put it completely. Because Kakashla Shore Eyu Amrachmana, Velo Shor Shal Hegdish. Well, Rabbi Akiva has a novel interpretation of that. He agrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, where Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that Pasuk is not coming to say your putter. That Pasuk is coming to say there's no din of Tam. And that Hegdish gets paid full damages straight off the bat. That's what it's coming to tell you. You're more common. So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer. Shor shel hegdish, shenagach shor shel hediot is potter, yes. But a shor shel hediot, shenagach shor shel hegdish, bein tam bein mod mishal nezek shalim. So what that pasuk is doing is it's saying, you take out the re'eu is coming to tell me, it's only shor shel re'eu that we say the din that if it's a tam, then it pays only chatzi nezek. But on the shor shel hegdish, none of these halakas kick in. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying a very simple Kal Vachomer. If you have to pay a person where the Torah is Mekel to make a distinction between Tam and Muad, and it's Mekel, and you still have to pay Yiddish, Koshken Hegdish, where the Torah is Machmer, to say even for a Tam, you pay Nezek Sholim, Koshken that you have to pay Yiddish. Okay. To be continued tomorrow. Hatzad HaShav Shebehem Latuyeh Mai. Omer Abaye Latuya Abne Sakinom Asoshi Nichan Baroshka Govana Fluburov Mitsuya Viziko Echi Dami Ibadit Kazi Kamaskano Eish Maishaishka Kachamur Baumamoncha Shmiroto Alechani Namiko Kachamur Abemamoncha Shmiroto Alecha Elabota de Naichi Idafkunu Benalar Benishmalan Bor Maishno Boschkin Tridatasiaton the Nezek Mamoncha Shmiroto Alechani Namit Tasiaton the Nezek Umamoncha Shmiroto Alecha Ela de Loaf Krina The Shmuel de Omer Kulumi Bor Alamad Noino Bor Liolam dafkarinu, velodom lebor, malabor, can ain't go rakamurav, bo in its formation. Dobrabahani, she go rakamurav, eish tochiach, ah, but malay she can dakalel glazik, bor tochiach, chazratin. Ravama, latu boramit kalgel, baragle adam, uberagle beima, echidami, idafkarinu, bein lorab, bein lishmol, hainu bor, maishno bosh, kintlatasiaton and ezek, ushmiratu alecha, aninamit kratasiaton and ezek, shmiratan alecha. Ela de lofkrin, lishmudom, kulumi borlamano, hainu bor, liolam dafkrin of lodomil bor, malaboshkin, masav gormulo, toma vanishin, masav gormulo, shoyokiak, malashoshkin, dakalela classic, bor tochiachas radin, lorizekris, etc. Ravada Barava Omar Latri Hadatanya, Kolayush Omru, Potkin Bivotehen, the Gorfima Arotehen, Bimota Hamai Lemrashut, Bimota Gishamim Yesh Lemrashut, but Ava Bishabershut, Imiziku Haivim Mashale, Zechidomi, Badi Kazamaske Kohu, Elabota the Naika Echidom, Idafkarina Bela Benishwalanabor, Marsha Bortkirata Siatol and Ezek, Mamont Kishpatanaka, Ninamit Kirata Siatan and Ezek, Mamont Kishwanaka, Ela de Loafkarina, so the Shmu, the Armakalam Borlamano Ainubor. No, siri, liolam dafkarino. Velo domi labor, malaboshkin shalo bereshut. Tomer banish bereshut. Shor yochiach, malaboshkin daka leiloch alazik, bor tochiach, v'chozar hadin. Revino amar, latuy haditran, hakota vayilan shenaflu lirushut rabim viziku patur milishalim, notnu lo zman lakutz et ha'ilan, v'lishtor et hakota vanaflu betoch hazman viziku patur, le'achar zman chayav, zechid amida after vein lorad min lishmol hainu bor, mashno bor zek matzui, shmurato alecha, anina mezik matzui, shmurato alecha, ito lo afkarin lishmul yom akulim yobor lamanu hainu bor, liolam dafkarin lo domu labor, malabosh kein tchilat asiyaton lanezek, tomer bahani shein tchilat asiyaton lanezek, shor yochiach, malabosh שורש כנדק הליל חזיק בור תוכיח וחזר הדין כשיזיק חף המזיק חף המזיק חייב המזיק מבוא אלי אום רביון אום הרב הייתן הירושלמי יודתני לשנה כלילה לשלם תשלם עם נזק תן רבון מיטב שדה ומיטב כרמי ישלם מיטב שדה ושני זק מיטב כמו שני זק דברי וישמע רבי עקיבא אומר לא בא הכתוב אלא לגבות לנזקין מן העידית וכו חומר להגדש Rabbi Shmuel, what's he saying? Ochal Shmina Meshalim Shmina, Ochal Kusha also Meshalim Shmina. Omer Ravida Barav in Ochma Iskinan, Gagon Shachala Ruga Bein Harugot, Flo Yadina. Ike Chusha Kali Shmina Achal, the Meshalim Shmina. Omer Rav, that doesn't help me, man. Mailu Yadina, the Kusha Achal, Meshalim Ela Kusha. Hashtu Golo Yadina, Ike Chusha Kali Shmina Achal, Meshalim Shmina. I thought I'm Otsi Mechavel of Araya. Yellow Omer of Achaba, Yakov Ochma Iskinan, Gagon Shaita, Idit the Nisek, Kiziburi the Mazik, Ubahal Pligi. Rav Yishmol Safar, of course it's talking about paying Idit, but who's Idit? But a Nisek Shaminan. Rav Yakiva Safar, but a Mazik Shaminan. In my time with Rav Yishmol to say such a strange thing, because it says, Nema Sada Lamata, Nema Sada Lamata, Ma Sadeh Amur Lamala, where it says, Ubir Beste Acher, that's the Nisek by definition, Av Sadeh Amur Lamata, Metav Sadehu is also the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva, can't you read? Metav Sadehu, Metav Kamo, Yishalem. The Hechtakam Yishalem. Rabbi Shmo, of course I can read. Anik Zera Shavav, Anik Roy. Anik Zera Shavav, Kedekamina. Anik Roy, Kagon de Ita Lamazik, Idit Viziburit. Vidit Lanizik, Viziburit Lamazik, Lo Shavak, Idit Lanizik. The Mishalem lay me Metav the day, the Lomazi Omale, Taat Gavim Iziburit. Alagavimi Metav. Vekiva Omelaba, Katavelikva, the Nizikimina, did we have a Homer Egdish? My Kava Homer Egdish. Ilema, the Nogak Turdi, the Natur de Egdish, Shore, Omerachmana, Velo Shor Shalegdish. Elo Omer, Hare, Lai, Mona, Labedek Abai, the Ati Gizbor, Vashokami Idik. Why? Lo Yela Balcho? Balcho Bebeinani. Vachitema, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds Ko Balcho Bebeidit. It still isn't a good Kava Homer, Kazikal Mifrach Malabalcho, Shikenya Fekoho Benazikin. Tomer Begdesh, Urakoho Benazikin. The Yoylon, the Nogak Turdi, the Natur de Hegdesh. Vidakakash, Rakshare, Rakmona, Voloshal, Sir Hegdesh, Rebekivisavel, Kripshimimim, Asia, the Tani Rebishimim, Asia, Omer, Shorshal, Egdesh, Nogak, Shorshal, Yod, Patur, Shorshal, Yod, Nogak, Shorshal, Egdesh, Bintam, Bing Muad, Mishalim, Nezek, Shalim.